This is a Korean way of greeting. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I hope all of you are enjoying your summer classes, including Greek and Hebrew classes. Are you guys enjoying? I hope you are. I'm very glad to be here this morning. It's my honor to share the gospel of Jesus with you, with all of you. This morning, I'd like to share about the story of a young man who met Jesus, yet left him with great sadness. As we have listened in the scripture reading, one ruler came to Jesus to see him. Though it does not appear in today's text, he is a young man, according to Matthew 19:20. Luke says he's a ruler and a man of great wealth. He's typically known as the rich young ruler. According to the desire of ages, he occupied a position of responsibility. Maybe he was a man of a member of Sanhedrin. He is still young, yet has power and money. He is rich. I mean, he is very, very rich. In his young age, he has everything that other people barely have, only one among them in their old ages, if they are lucky enough. But he has everything. He is a perfect man whom we all envy. With his youth, power, wealth, he is perfect enough. On top of all these, he still has one more. He is very spiritual. He has a strong interest in spiritual matters. His first question to Jesus shows his spiritual interest. What must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, what can I do to have eternal life? Usually people who have everything have no interest in spiritual things. I used to teach at Samyuk Korean Adventist University in Seoul before I came to here in the States. Over 80% of my students were female. I was maybe fortunate. From my own experience, I learned something interesting about girls. I'm not saying that it is, you know, true to everyone. Generally speaking, pretty students are not doing well in class. More accurately, they do not study. They don't need to study, maybe. Generally, top students in class are not pretty. They are rarely pretty, according to my experience. I'm not talking about you. But exceptionally, there are some girls who are pretty and do well in their class. However, usually they are not getting along with people well. They have personality disorder. Very rarely, there are few who do well in class, who are pretty, and have a cool personality. But they do not have any interest in religion. If you do not lack anything, you most likely don't feel any spiritual need. As Proverbs 39 says, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Generally, people who have a lot don't feel any spiritual need. But this rich young ruler is different. This guy who is young and healthy, who has power and money is deeply spiritual. He affirms that he is a perfect Christian. This young man said, according to Matthew 19:20, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? That was his attitude. He has been faithful to all the details of the Mosaic laws. He has kept all, yet asking more. He is ready to do whatever is required, even more. Furthermore, he is way more spiritual than we used to think of him. His spiritual passion is observed in his manner of approaching Jesus. Mark 10:17 says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. He ran up to Jesus to see him. He did not hesitate to come to Jesus. Rather, he ran up to him. And he was a man of passion. He came to Jesus' knee right away without hesitation. He was a man of action. He did show his respect to Jesus, who was maybe about his age or even younger. He fell on his knees. He was not like one of other proud Pharisees. He was a humble man who can kneel down to the Lord. Then he asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? His appearance to Jesus itself is something special. It is a very special occasion that attracts people's attention. Maybe it could have been a very cover story of Jerusalem Times. That's why all four gospel writers wrote the story of this rich young ruler. When we look at the last part of the story, it didn't turn out to be a happy ending. Today's text says, when he heard this, he became very sad. Matthew is more straightforward in his expression. Matthew 19:22 says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. This could have been an excellent chance for the gospel of Jesus to be shared by a leading figure in Jewish society. This rich young ruler went away sad. This young man lost his chance of being one of the most influential disciples of Jesus. This story is one of the saddest stories, maybe in the Bible. How can we get eternal life? That is a question we are all asking. Now let us turn our eyes to Jesus and listen to what Jesus is saying. In Luke 18:20, he says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Matthew is more specific in his on this account. Matthew 19:17-18 says, if you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. The young man wanted to have more specific answer. Which ones should I follow? Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. That is love your neighbor as yourself. This young man replied without hesitation, I've done these things since my childhood. I'm an all-age student in my religion, maybe even in Greek and Hebrew classes. When Jesus heard this, verse 22, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. He thought he was a perfect Christian, but not in Jesus' sight. He has kept all the details of God's law, but Jesus said, you still lack one thing. What is that one thing that he's lacking? It is the love that he lacks. He's a perfect religionist who has the law, yet he lacks the way, the very content of the law, the love. When we look at the reaction of young man at Jesus' command, at the end, everything becomes clear. In verse 22, Jesus says, sell everything you have and give to the poor. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. It is Jesus saying in verse 22 that made him turn away from Jesus. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. This command of Jesus became a stumbling block for his steps to Jesus and eternal life. According to Matthew 19:19, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. That was his fundamental problem. Here in the text, Jesus is listing the commandments from number 5 to 10, which shows person-to-person relationship. As you know, the Ten Commandments is divided into two parts. First part talks about God's love, our love toward God, whereas the second part about our love toward our neighbors. The core of Ten Commandments is love. Our love toward God is revealed in our love toward our neighbors. The first part is about religious life, while the second part is about everyday life. Our religious life cannot be separated from our everyday life. But a lot of times, we tend to be a dualist. Not in a sense that body and spirit are two separate entities, but in a sense that religion and everyday life are completely separated from each other. That was the problem this young man had. This rich young ruler's problem is not on the first aspect of the commandments, but on the second aspect. Though he is one of the most religious people of his time, he does not show his love toward others. That is his problem. Maybe this story is specifically for Adventist Christians. According to my own experience, a lot of people who came from other Christian communities, they talk about us. They feel that we have the truth, but no love. The law without love is nothing. Religion without love is nothing. Adventism without, Adventist truth without love is nothing. What is it that this rich young ruler is familiar with? He's a perfect religionist. He never killed anyone. He never stole anything. He never lied. Of course, he never committed adultery. He never did anything, any do-nots. He was just like Adventist. There are many things that all others do, but we do not. We don't do. Right? We do not smoke. We do not drink. We try to eat clean food. I guess most of us are vegetarians. I guess this young man was a pure vegetarian, like most of us, hopefully. Some of us are maybe fourth generation Adventist Christians. We practice every single details of Adventist lifestyle. Is this the real picture of what Christianity is all about? Does Christianity consist of doing no bad things? Or is it a list of do nots? The real and powerful Christianity is composed of what we do for others rather than what we do not for others, for ourselves maybe. Real Christianity is something we do for others. It is a doing for others, doing good things, doing goods for others. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Therefore, love is not something we do not, but something we do in Christ. This love is the essence of Christianity. This love makes us cover the wound, give food to who are in hunger, and protect the weak. Love is not an option for Christian. It is the only option for Christian. It's not one of the commandments, but the commandment itself. What is another aspect of this, his problem? Another problem that he had was the direction of his life. According to Luke 18, verses 22 and 23, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. When Jesus said, "Sell everything you have and give to the poor," he was very sad and turned away from Jesus. This young man's life is focused on possession. He always tried to get something more. This everything is everything for him. He was always running after something, running after some kind of possession. Maybe better education, higher position, bigger house, bigger car, faster car, and more money. He lived a life after possession. He even had a good religion. He says that he has kept everything from his childhood. Maybe he attended Adventist schools from preschool to college, even here in the seminary. He was very, very rich. He had lots of money. He had power. He was still young, which means he has health. He could do anything. To this rich young ruler, Jesus commanded and said, "Sell everything you have and give to the poor." Jesus saying that, give up everything. This is a tough command, isn't it? What would you do if Jesus said to you like this? Never easy. Does this mean that we all need to give up everything we have? Does it mean that Jesus requires a life without possession? The answer is yes and no. First of all, we need to read the first part of the verse 22 to have a better understanding. Here it says, "Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." A lot of times, because of this everything, we lost sight of the real treasure in heaven in the letter, in the second part. When we look at Luke 18:28, we also find some hints. Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you. Between all and Jesus, who is the real treasure, this rich young ruler chose all rather than Jesus, the real treasure." We found the same principle in Matthew 13, verses 44 and 45, the parable of hidden treasure and a great pearl. In these two parables, what is one thing in common that people who had found treasure and pearl? They both sold everything. It means, what does it mean to sell everything? Why did they sell everything? Why did they sell everything they have? They sold all they had because they realized the real value of treasure. What is the meaning of selling treasure? I mean, everything? It means having Jesus rather than non-possession. This does not mean that we must become homeless. No. This means that we must get rid of our life that is looking after possession. Hebrews 13:5 is clear about this. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Possession is not all. It means that we must choose Jesus rather than money. The saying of Jesus requires a paradigm shift from money-seeking life to Jesus-following life. This requires a paradigm shift from money-seeking life to Jesus-following life. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." At the end of the story, Luke 18:23 says, "When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth." There are two kinds of sorrows, one godly, another worldly. Godly sorrows brings repentance that leads salvation and leave no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Godly sorrow will lead us to salvation, but worldly one brings death. This rich young ruler had the latter. Because of his money, because of his possession, he went away sad. The worldly power, sorrow, overpowered him and made him choose worldly possession rather than Jesus, the real treasure. This is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. This young man could have been one of the most influential disciples of Jesus if he had chosen Jesus rather than his possession. However, very unfortunately, this guy never appeared again in the Bible. We find a very special lesson from here. When we have too much in us, when we have too much things in us, in our life, we have no place for Jesus. We need to make some space, enough space for Jesus. Let us not be possessed by worldly things. Let us not fill our life with worldly sorrows, but fill with godly one. This story shows another fundamental lesson, spiritual lesson. That is, our own efforts are always lacking one thing. Without Christ, we always lack one thing. With our own work and efforts, we always lack one thing. The Pharisees fast at least twice a week, pays tithes for every single earning he has, but he was still willing to do more. Maybe this was the attitude of this young man. Without hesitation, he said, "I have kept all these since my childhood." But what was Jesus' verdict to him? "You still lack one thing." Whatever we do for our salvation, we still lack one thing by ourselves. That was a fundamental problem of this rich young ruler. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and verse 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." I'd like to close my sermon with one story about Martin Luther. This great reformer, Luther, was very sick in his later life. He was suffering from many physical problems because of his severe ascetic practices in his early years. He tried all kinds of ascetic practices in order to get rid of his sin and his guilt. No matter what he did, he couldn't get the real peace in him. No matter how many times he confessed, he still had sins to confess. There was no end, no solution for his problem. While he was climbing up the pilot's stairs on his knees to get God's forgiveness, a Bible verse hit his mind, changed his life completely. "The righteous will live by faith." This faith is what we need. I hope all of us have this faith that works in us, the faith that makes us love our neighbors as ourselves, the faith that makes a paradigm shift in us toward Jesus rather than this world. I hope all of us live by faith in Jesus Christ and live a life that lacks nothing. Thank you.